If you would, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And yes, I do have a chip on my shoulder. A literal chip. The what, Brother Andy? Can I find a bigger one? I don't know. Does anybody in here got a bigger chip than this on your shoulder? Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Okay. The message this morning is concerning building relationships, making a commitment or recommit about building relationships with one another. By the way, if you have love for one another, what did Jesus say? By this, the whole world will know you're my disciple. Okay? So, building relationships, our theme verses for this series of topical messages about making recommitments this new year is Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now this goal the Apostle Paul is speaking about is becoming Christ-like, more and more Christ-like. So you and I are to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, to grow into more Christ-likeness, not to grow more like Edgar Evans or the person beside you. We are to grow more and more like Christ. Put all of our effort, our strength, to press towards that goal of Christ-likeness. We need God's help for that. Amen? And part of that being more like Christ is getting along with each other. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you desire a personal relationship with us. So Lord, with this personal relationship with you, by trusting you, by obeying you, Lord, we glorify you in this time of worship through song and through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through me. Lord God, I'm nothing without you. May I grow more and more like you each day. And may it be the praise of your glory. And I ask the same for the rest of this congregation this morning. Lord, help us, Lord, to have a right relationship with you and that we can be witnesses for you this coming week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Building relationships. One thing I'm learning about relationships, once you're in the casket, it don't matter anymore what it was about. Whatever you was upset about or couldn't get along about, when you're laying in the casket, it doesn't matter anymore. Amen? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. By the way, we're all going to be in heaven together. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're going to be in heaven together for all eternity. Now, if you got a problem with that, are you really saved? Are you? Are you really saved? Because when we all get to heaven, all the little chips on our shoulders won't matter anymore. Or the big chips, Brother Andy. But we make such ordeal about things that really don't matter. Now, when it comes to doctrine and that Jesus is the only way, I will stand and defend that against anybody. There's some things we just can't budge. Amen? Can't budge on certain things. But other things, we ought to try to work out things. Amen? And get the chips off of our shoulder and build relationships to become more and more like Christ. Just this morning, as I was checking the news on the Fox News website, one of the articles that was written this morning was how social media makes people miserable. Social media, which is Facebook, Twitter, and they got a couple other things now. And I read some of the article and kind of skimmed through it, through the highlights, and I started thinking and saying, you know, they're right. Because in social media, everyone puts their best pictures. You know, I have a good side and I have a bad side. And my wife is not allowed to put anything on Facebook about me unless I approve it. Because I have a bad side, see? But I have a good side. You know, it matters to me. But on this social media, we see the best times in people's lives according to this article. And this article goes on and said, and it makes us to dwell in this internet falsehood that you think when you're looking at their best pictures, the awesome vacation and all the toys that they have and they're playing on and all the better snowmans that they built than your snowman, the better sleigh that they drove around in the snow better than your sleigh, and it gets you just, everything's better than what I got or what I've done. And social media makes people depressed, makes them miserable. Okay? By the way, I vote we have snow every Friday. I like that. Didn't you? Man, that was fun. But Miss Tammy's four snowmen were better than my little whatever we tried to do. So, social media can bring us down and cause us to believe in false type of relationships and feeling about other people, how much better they are or what they have, better than what God has blessed us with. And we are to be contented with God, what God has blessed us with. So, building relationships. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And I tell you what, I got this chip on my shoulder, literal chip. And we had a member just this past week that had shoulder surgery, Miss Cindy Gillespie. And, you know, I imagine many of you have had shoulder surgeries. I've had both of my shoulders just lock up with some form of arthritis, and I had shots put in them and all that. And the pain that is associated with shoulder surgery or pain in your shoulder, you can't rest. You know, you try. I sleep on my sides. And when my shoulders are hurting, man, it's just hard for me to sleep. And the pain that is involved in fixing a shoulder and all the rehab with it. So let me say this. Building relationships, getting the chips off our shoulders, it's going to take more than just listening to a sermon from me this morning. You know what it's going to have to take? Work. And pain. Just like having surgery on a hurt shoulder and having to cut in or to dig into that shoulder to fix it. To get those chips and to work on relationships, it takes pain on our part and effort. As Paul said, I press toward towards the mark, doing all he can do. And it takes work and effort, and it takes pain to fix things. So fixing relationships and building relationships. We have this great example, Joseph, the Apostle Peter, and many others in Scripture are good examples about relationships. So we're looking at Joseph this morning. You know the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And while he was a slave, he was accused of something he did not do. So he was put in prison in Egypt. And he was a slave in prison. And yet he kept trusting in the Lord. He did not hold grudges. If he would have held a grudge, he would still be a slave in prison. But he kept trusting in the Lord. And God blessed him, and he became the prime minister of Egypt to help many, many people. So that's the story. Read all about it in the book. Amen? Well, we pick up here in chapter 45 about relationships that need repairing. Number one, when a relationship needs repairing, do not make a public spectacle out of the person. Look there with me in verse 1 of chapter 45 of Genesis. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. His brothers didn't even know who that person was at that time. And he was making himself known, but he had everyone to leave except him and his brothers. Many times, though, when a relationship is hindered or broken or needs repairing, many times people will get on Facebook and tell everybody about it, how they were hurt or what had happened. Or we get on the telephone, or we want to tell everybody about it, and even try to embarrass other people, or to embarrass the person who had offended us. That's the wrong thing to do. Don't make a public example out of them or spectacle. Joseph certainly did not, and he asked everyone to leave so that he could talk with his brother. Secondly, do not bottle up your feelings. Look in verse 2 of chapter 45. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. I mean, he just let his emotions, he cried, and even the house of Pharaoh heard it. And that does not mean to lambast with your emotions. But he did not try to bottle up his feelings. And when you and I bottle up our feelings for a period of time, we become like a can of soda that has been shooken up. And when you open that can of soda, I mean, when it finally is open, or a bottle of Coke, and it, what happens? I mean, it spews everywhere. It makes a big mess. And when we bottle up our emotions and our feelings like that, when it comes out, it makes a big mess. Okay? So, communication. Also, number 3, when a relationship needs repairing, do not push the other person away. Look in verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please, come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." He said, "Come here. Come closer to me. Let's get this out. Let's talk." And he made himself known to his brothers. He did not push them away. And relationships have to do with relating to other people. So this is something that I have to work on. Folks, I can be a loner. I can be by myself all day long, and guess what? It don't bother me. I'm that type of person. I like to be around people, but I don't have to be around people. So I have to work on wanting to be around people. And not to push people away. Maybe you may be the same way. When something needs to be worked on, don't push them away. Bring them closer and have a relationship. It's relating to other people, being with them, and certainly don't stop coming to church. Be with other Christian brothers and sisters in worship of the Lord. Also, when we need to repair relationships, do comfort and be kind to the other person. Verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because ye sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God worked good out of it. And continue to minister. Remember that Christ died for that person. He died for you. He died for them, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And continue to comfort them and be kind. And that leads us to the next point. Verse 5. Do minister to the other person. Being a Christian is about serving the Lord. Yes, we have benefits, but God has gifted you and gave you a talent or talents to serve Him with. And it's about ministry and ministering to other people. So continue to minister to that other person. Look what Joseph did in verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So Joseph ministered to his brothers, to his family. Again, I want to remind you, when they're in the casket, it doesn't matter. Okay, it's over. The opportunity to work it out is gone. Or the little things that became such big things don't matter anymore. When they're in the casket or when you're there. You see? And as a pastor, you know, just in my, let me tell you, people can hurt you and don't mean to, or I can offend and don't mean to. And when I continue to minister and God allows me to come beside a bedside of someone that's hurting or in surgery or something, and I pray with them and have the opportunity to minister to them, you know, it encourages them and me, and you can do the same thing. Continue to minister. Continue to minister to them as Joseph ministered. Also, do everything to avoid future conflicts. Do everything that you can to live at peace when possible, to avoid and to look out. That's part of wisdom. Seeing a conflict or something that could happen in the future, don't live scared all the time, but try to see, hey, this can be a conflict in the future, so let's head it off at the pass. Okay? Also, deal honestly with others. I mean, live at peace when possible. You ever met somebody that just cannot tell the truth? I mean, they live in a fantasy. So, do all you can to live at peace, and you don't be a person like that. Be honest with everyone. Let people know they can trust you. Okay, be honest. Also, number 8, be open about problems. Be open about it. Sometimes problems and conflicts are made worse when we're not open about them. Jesus said, go to that person. Go to that brother first. If that doesn't work, go with another person with you. If that doesn't work, bring them to the church. But be open. And remember, you may be the one with the chip. So be open about it. Work it out. But many times we want to not be open and go to other people about it. You know what so-and-so did to me? Or you know what happened? We get on social media and tell the whole world, and the other person don't even know what's going on. Okay? I heard something real funny. Miss Barbara's cousin said it the other day in the hospital, and you know, this was joking. She said it jokingly, but I said, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use it today. And she said that she was telling a story about an older man, and the older man, his brother said to him, I'll never tell you anything else again because you just tell everybody what I've told you. And you're not supposed to. And the old man says, it's not me telling everybody. It's all the ones that I told. They tell everybody. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, and that's kind of how it works sometimes, and it ought not so be. Go to that person. Be open about problems. Now, let me say this. I've heard it said, you know, on more than one occasion, well, they're just not friendly. It may be the church down the road or the church across the state. It may be Cooper it was said about. But let me say this. Bible says, look it up, it's in Proverbs. I want you to dig for it. But if you want to have friends, show yourself to be friendly. You got to be friendly. Get the chip off. If you want to have friends, then you be friendly also. Okay? Be friends with everybody. It's easy for me to be friends with people like me. Okay? But it takes effort and work for me to be friends with people who we have nothing in common. They still my friend. Okay? So it show yourself to be friendly. It takes work. Now, I want to share with you another passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And this passage, I quote it many times, but I want to read it to you. And this is two commandments that all the law hangs from, it stems from. And if we work at these two commandments, we can work out relationships. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 says this. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. He tells a great parable about who your neighbor is. Everyone is your neighbor. Humanity is our neighbor. We are to love God with all of our being and love our neighbor as ourselves. And it, you know, it takes work at that. If you love God properly, then you will love your neighbor, red, yellow, black, or white. 1 John, writing against heresy in the church and against Gnostic teaching, he said this, You say you love God and hate the one that's not like you, then you walk in darkness and the light of God is not in you. You're a heretic. So it takes work, and we are to love humanity and work at building relationships with God and with one another. Now, five aspects of building good relationships. You with me? Number one. Stop having selfish ambitions. Everyone say selfish. We try to teach our little babies not to be selfish. Why? Because we are born that way. All of us are. It's the sin nature. Sin nature is very selfish. So with God's help and with God in us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stop having selfish ambitions that you have to walk on other people to achieve. Amen. Also about building good relationships. Number two, stop having selfish conceit. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Okay? Don't be arrogant and prideful. Stop having selfish conceit. Now, this is opposite of what the world teaches, okay? Thirdly, increase humility. Not having a false humility, but I tell you what, if we can keep our eyes on Jesus and compare ourselves to Jesus and stop comparing ourselves to one another or what one has and the other one don't or how that much better you are than them, and compare yourself to the sinless Son of God and compare your righteousness to His righteousness, then you will be a humble person. You'll have good relationships. Number four, increase consideration of others. Number five, grow in your relationship with the Lord. This is my final point with some sad notes. To have good relationships, you must grow in your relationship with Jesus. Amen? Any time someone is cheating on their spouse, it's because they cheated on Jesus first. Anytime someone has a chip on their shoulder, it's because they're not in God's Word like they ought to be, including myself. When relationships are hindered, it's because Jesus is not in the... We're not in the proper relationship with Jesus that we ought to be. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, the Apostle Paul shares his prayer, his concern, and sharing his concern and prayer for the church in Ephesus that they would grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means to grow in our relationship with Him. I have some things to state. There is always something new and more to learn about Jesus and His Word. I had a great professor in my bachelor's degree, Dr. Potts. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And this elderly professor would always come in the class and say, "Guess what I learned this today?" He was still learning. And I've tried to do that myself, to continue to learn. There's always something more to learn. And if it's something you already know and you're hearing it again, just rejoice in the Lord for His goodness. Because the Bible is full about bringing us back to remembrance, remembering the basics. But grow in your knowledge of Jesus and His Word. Get in the Word. Also, our experiences with Jesus should be fresh. Should be fresh. If your experience with Jesus happened 20 years ago, you hadn't had, you know, a relationship and experience since then, come on now. It should be fresh. Just a closer walk with Thee. Also, remember this. It goes along with the children's message. Jesus knows you by name. He knows everything about you, the number of hairs on our head, and all of that. And Jesus loves you, and He appreciates you. It says it there in Ephesians. He loves you and He appreciates you. You may feel like you're not loved or you're not appreciated. Dear wife, love your husband and do it as unto the Lord. Dear husband, you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. You're loving the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Jesus loves and appreciates you. You may feel you're not appreciated at the church or in your family. When you're in the casket, it won't matter. What will matter is you realizing that Jesus appreciates your view and loves you. And when we are growing, pressing toward that goal of working on our relationship with Jesus and growing and having a fresh relationship with Him, I promise you, other relationships are easier to work out. Easier. They still work. Takes time. Takes effort. But it's a whole lot easier when you have Jesus. So, dear Christian, recommit. Person who may not know Jesus, I'll be here to help you. I promise you, when you know Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you'll have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, someone you can have a relationship with, someone who will help you. He'll be that one for you. I'll be here to help you all I can. We're fixing to pray and have an invitation. We're inviting you to come to receive Christ. Maybe you need to pray and say, I'm laying this chip on the altar. It's painful. I like my little chip. It's painful to get rid of it. That's not me. I can't grow in my relationship with Jesus with this chip. I'm letting it go. Let's pray. Lord, help us to attend to eternity. Lord, we hold on to things that don't matter. Some things do matter, and you call us to be soldiers, to stand fast in things concerning you and your word. But Lord, other things is from selfishness that we hold on to, and it's ungodly, it's unchristian, it's unchristlike. So God, I ask for help for me and for this church, Lord, to let go and to grow in our relationship with you and to have sweet fellowship with you and with one another. And may you have all glory in it all. In the name of Jesus.